This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we'll start today with more on Sunday's fatal police shooting of 31-year-old Terrence Coleman in Boston's South End. Coleman's mother says she called 911 early Sunday morning after her son had been sitting on their Shawmut Avenue stoop for nearly 2 days. The Boston Globe reports that Coleman had been diagnosed with paranoia and schizophrenia some 15 years ago, and that police had been called to Coleman's home a dozen times in the past decade. On Sunday morning, officers arrived with EMTs. What happened next is under investigation. The Boston Police Department says Coleman attacked the EMTs with a knife, causing officers to respond with deadly force. His family says he was not armed. Terrence Coleman's death is once again raising questions about the degree of crisis training police officers receive and about the gap in services for people in acute mental distress. We're going to take a look at both of those issues right now. Joining us first from Washington is Chuck Wexler, Executive Director of the Police Executive Research Forum, a law enforcement policy and research organization. He's a Boston native who formerly held a number of key civilian positions in the Boston Police Department, including operations assistant to the police commissioner. Chuck Wexler, welcome to Radio Boston.
Nice to be with you.
So I understand, first of all, that just a little bit earlier today, you actually spoke to or were briefed by Boston Police Commissioner Bill Evans about what happened on Sunday. What did he tell you?
Well, I actually called him in anticipation of being on this program. I really wanted his insights. I've known Commissioner Evans for probably 20, 25 years, and I know how committed he is to this whole subject. As a matter of fact, he was one of 25 police officials that went with us to Scotland this year to learn about de-escalation techniques. You know, they don't have guns there for the working police officers. So Bill Evans was one of those individuals, so I know him well, mm-hmm. and I really wanted to get his insight on this incident.
And what did he tell you?
Well, it's a tragedy, it's always sad when a parent loses their child like this, and he certainly feels that. But it's one of those situations where police nationally are increasingly called to these kind of situations, and the Washington Post has tracked use of force cases, and about 25% of them involve people who are mentally ill. In this situation, you had this individual who, as you described, has suffering from schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia. The police had been there 12 times. The officers who responded had been trained in crisis intervention teamwork, CIT. They had gotten 12 hours training. They'd been, on the job for 2 years. And they got there and they called EMT, the emergency ambulance people, who responded. And, they really, they did everything right in terms of slowing it down, getting assistance, not rushing in, all of that. And then the EMT people apparently went in to try to talk to this individual. And that's when things really escalated some ways.
So Mr. Wexler, let me just jump in here because I want to be sure that I understand what you're saying correctly. So you're saying that Commissioner Evans told you that the two officers involved in Sunday's shooting, they'd been on the force for 2 years, so they were 2 years out of their police academy training?
Correct.
And did they receive this crisis intervention training as part of their academy education or after they graduated from police academy?
Well, I believe as part of it. Actually, in Massachusetts, everybody is mandated to get 12 hours training. So I would assume this was part of their academy training. In addition, they get in-service training during the year so that they were reflective of a lot of departments. But I know Boston has made a special effort to really look at these kind of situations and how do you go upstream, if you will? How do you figure out how to slow it down, use time and distance, and really communication skills? I think the presence of the EMTs was important. But there was a sense that having them talk to this individual rather than police officers might help to diffuse it. You know, an officer in a uniform with a gun and everything can sometimes raise anxiety levels. So these cops stood back, let the EMTs go in, and that's when things
I mean, in fact, what we're seeing reported by the Boston Globe today is that that it was Terrence Coleman's mother, Hope Coleman, who didn't want to let the officers in precisely because she feared that their presence might further agitate her son. So the EMTs went in first. And again, this is what the Boston Globe is reporting. And that then there soon thereafter, the officers may have heard one of the EMTs raise their voices, which is what then prompted the following, the action thereafter, which there's some dispute about whether there was or wasn't a knife being wielded by Mr. Coleman. I mean, when you say slow things down, what ideally, you know, should happen in those events where the officers couldn't perhaps not see exactly what was going on and they had to respond to raised voices?
Well, when we say slow things down, I mean, the tendency had been historically for police to go to these situations to barge right in and feel like the best thing was to resolve it quickly. What we've learned, especially in dealing with people who have mental health issues, is there's some kind of crisis that has precipitated this. And the best thing is communication and to talk to people. And when I say slow it down, simply to get other professionals to the scene. You know, in Boston, you have, you know, an area that's rich in many hospitals and mental health people. In fact, the Boston Police Department have arrangements with mental health professionals to ride with them at night. So in this situation, the best thing to do would be to get like EMTs and others there so that, you know, the police then sort of step back. In this situation, having the EMTs go in seemed to make sense. It looked like this individual needed to be transported to the hospital. He needed help. And look, the last thing anyone wants is to take a life in this situation. It's devastating. You can do everything right, and yet you have something like this that happens. And you know, time will tell as we sort it out and figure out what exactly happened. But you know, I feel for that family, but I also feel for those police officers in the sense that they will never be the same. They will be devastated by this. So it's a tragedy all around.
Mm. Did Commissioner Evans, was he able to tell you anything else about specifically what happened on Sunday?
No, simply that you know that this is a tragedy, and he felt, you know, personally very bad. Yesterday he told me he met with a lot of community people and to talk through this and explain it to them and to really try to, you know, put it in perspective. Look, this is a nationwide problem. This kind of call where the police are called to a location, you know, a dozen times where you have this individual, you know, it's interesting because who does a parent call when their kid is in trouble? They call the police. And you hope that the police, you know, have the kind of training. We have just released training called ICAT, which involves integrating communications, assessment, and tactics. And that's what you had in this situation. You had a communications issue, and then you had tactics issues. And I think this is with the number of these kind of calls escalating. And they're really, you know, they're really difficult calls. But we do know that, you know, there are better ways to do it. But Boston Police, you know, to their credit, really have been exploring how do they continue to improve. They have been involved with us in training.
Yeah. Mr. Wexler, I'm sorry to interrupt you because I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I do have one more question for you before we have to let you go here. I take your point that very frequently police officers are sort of the first responders in these cases, and that yes, there has been increased training in Massachusetts in recent years. But I mean, nevertheless, as everyone acknowledges, something didn't go right on Sunday.
Right.
A man is dead. I mean,
right.
I'm wondering what in addition could have been done. I mean, should we be having mental health professionals? I don't even know if they're the resources for this, being part of these response teams when
yes.
the calls come in and we know that there's someone in acute mental distress. So it's not just police officers.
Well, I totally agree with you. And then the original CIT training came out of Memphis 20 years ago, and it was to have a partnership with health professionals. In this particular case, you did have EMT there. You mm. did have professionals. Now, were they the best? No, probably, you know, they weren't necessarily trained in psychology, but they were EMTs. And so having EMTs go in seems to me to be, you know, a better solution than just having police go in. Look, I totally agree, as would Commissioner Evans. This is a tragedy. I feel for that parent. I mean, the last thing that police want to do in these kind of situations is take a life. I will tell you what Boston police will do, to their credit, is they will go back, they will look at this, and they'll see what could we have done differently. You know, there was a time when people would say, we don't want a Monday morning quarterback. Today, we look at these incidents as unfortunate and
yeah.
difficult as they are and say, what could we do better?
Well, Chuck Wexler is Executive Director of the Police Executive Research Forum, a law enforcement policy and research organization based in Washington. He's a Boston native who has held key civilian positions in the Boston Police Department, including operations assistant to the police commissioner. Chuck Wexler, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn now to June Binney. She's Director of Criminal Justice Diversion for the National Alliance on Mental Illness Massachusetts. She joins us on the line. June Binney, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much, Magda.
So respond to what you just heard Chuck Wexler tell us. I mean, he says that Commissioner Evans says that the two officers involved in Sunday morning's fatal shooting had been on the force for 2 years, and that they had received some 12 hours each of some form of crisis intervention training. I mean, NAMI has been, your organization has been involved with Massachusetts law enforcement across the state in terms of some of this training. What could those 12 hours of training have been?
Well, let me just back up by saying that, you know, our project at NAMI has been working for the last almost 5 years to support police departments to get training and technical assistance that they need to respond to people with mental illness and substance use disorders safely and humanely. And really what we're trying to do is promote a uniform statewide strategy in these programs. And, you know, I also want to just reiterate what Chuck said, which is obviously the death of Terrence Coleman is an unspeakable tragedy, and you know, my condolences to the family, and I too feel for the first responders who have to go into these very difficult situations.
Well, I think we're definitely all in agreement on that. Anytime a life is lost, it's a tragedy for everyone in the community. So that's why I'm even more eager to have your help in understanding what kind of training officers do receive. Because I'm looking back in 2013, the Massachusetts Municipal Police Training Committee, which was, you know, part of the Executive Office of Public Safety and Security, actually made an announcement, and NAMI was part of this announcement.
That
officers in Massachusetts police academies were going to receive 12 hours per officer of some kind of crisis intervention training. That was a 200% increase from the 4 hours they were receiving in the police academy before that. So what kind of training are police recruits receiving when it comes to this kind of interaction they may have?
So the training that we partnered with the State Department of Mental Health and all the police academies, the Municipal Police Training Committee, and developed this 12-hour program, which we're exceedingly proud of, and launched it in October of 2013. I would say more than an introduction to these issues, but less than the kind of training that we think needs to be ongoing as police are in the communities and on the job. So The training happens during the 800-hour curriculum that every new police recruit in Massachusetts goes through, and it's wonderful. I would actually say that Massachusetts went from worst to first in terms of training new police recruits, but it's only one piece of the puzzle.
What are the specific things that the training entails? I mean, is it role play? Is it these de-escalation tactics? I mean, because the range of mental distress that they might be encountering in people they're responding to has got to be quite broad.
So they learn a bit about the signs and symptoms of mental illness. They learn about veterans' issues. They learn about hoarding and other kinds of, the teenage brain. I mean, you know, sort of specialized populations. And they do some role playing and practical exercises. Again, it's like any other kind of learning and training. It needs to be reinforced and it needs to be built upon and it, needs to continue. So, but it's a great foundation. And again, we're really proud of it. And, proud of the partnership that we were able to put together as an advocacy organization with government, and got all the support that we needed from the academies to roll this out. And we've probably trained something like 1700 or 1800 new officers since that rolled out. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Earlier you said it's wonderful, but just to start, not fully adequate for the kind of training you'd like to see officers receive overall.
That's correct. So the next thing we did was, and we were at the academy's request, we boiled that 12-hour training to 3 hours. And in calendar year 2015, every one of the 18,000 municipal police officers in the state received that 3-hour block. So that, too, is something that we're incredibly proud of.
June Binney, let me just jump in here because I do, forgive me for interrupting you, but I do want to ask you something about this gap in services or our ability to respond to people who are in acute mental distress. Because I was seeing a quote here in the Boston Herald from Mayor Marty Walsh, and he was quoted in the paper saying that an officer is not a clinical social worker. They have training, but again, it's a situation that seems to have gone beyond that. And then he said, I think if Terrence Coleman's mother had a number to call where a professional could go and help, that would have been more appropriate for that to happen. But I'm also seeing that Hope Coleman, Terrence Coleman's mother, told the Boston Globe that she called originally the South End Community Health Center in preparation to bring her son to Tufts Medical Center around midnight before the Sunday shooting, police shooting. But she was advised to call for an ambulance. So do you see, like, is that not where where this very specific and worrisome gap exists, if people are being advised to actually call 911 first?
Yeah, again, without all the facts coming out, it's really, it's very difficult. And yes, there are all kinds of gaps in services for people experiencing mental health crisis. Massachusetts actually has a very rich system of something called emergency services programs. There's 21 of them around the state regionally. And they are available 24/7 for people to call. They tend to only respond to people who are on MassHealth as opposed to commercial insurance, but they will also respond mobily in certain instances. You know, the other program that Boston actually has, which lots of communities would long to have, is a member of that emergency services program, a clinician from the BEST team, the Boston Emergency Services team, actually does go out on patrol calls, on police calls, with the Boston Police in either 2 or 3 precincts in police. Yeah. That's called the co-response model.
Well, June, let me just ask you one last question. Before we're all flat out of time here, but I'm curious. I mean, for people listening who have loved ones that may end up in acute mental distress someday, maybe some of them are wondering, who should I call?
Right. So I think, again, I think, people should call their emergency services providers, but in an acute emergency, people need to rely on 911 because that's where you're going to get the immediate response. And that's why we are all invested in having well-trained, well-supported police officers so that they have every tool in their tool belt when they come into these incredibly complex situations where they were not, this was not a traditional part of policing to respond to someone in an acute mental health crisis. And, you know, we need to give our police the support so that they can respond in a way that keeps all of our communities healthy and safe.
Yeah, and for a whole variety of reasons, it's becoming a larger part of policing with every passing year. June Binney, Director of Criminal Justice Diversion for the National Alliance on Mental Illness Massachusetts, thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.